friends tease me, saying I'm too frugal, and I'm not buying it. Hi, I'm Rob West. It's good to find a little humor in a tough situation, and that's what we have now, with inflation now eating away $400 to $500 from the average family's monthly budget. I'll share some ideas about what you can do about it. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, to get an idea of how serious inflation is, a survey by the market research firm NPD Group showed that 4 out of 5 Americans now say they'll cut back spending buying cheaper products or fewer of them. Whenever 80% of people agree on something, well, you know it's a big deal. So we might learn a trick or two from folks who've always been frugal. A recent Wall Street Journal article showed how some of these penny pinchers are taking their game to the next level to fight inflation. For example, some folks are now calling wholesalers to see if they have distressed food items with damaged packaging at a lower price. Another tactic is taking an entire month off from any spending that isn't absolutely critical, like food, shelter, and transportation. They're also overhauling their monthly budget to see if there's anywhere they can save a few dollars. One gentleman in the Journal article needed about $7,000 in roof repairs, but did it himself for only $1,000. Obviously, he wasn't afraid of heights. Now, we wouldn't recommend something like that for everyone, but maybe there are other simple home repairs and improvements you can take on yourself. Examples might be fixing a leaky pipe or replacing a faucet, painting the interior or exterior of your home, unclogging a garbage disposal, hanging wallpaper, and installing a light fixture. These days, you can find more YouTube videos than you can shake a screwdriver at for fixing just about anything. And if it doesn't work out, well, you can always call in a contractor, but it never hurts to try, and you could save some cash that you can apply elsewhere in your budget. Some very frugal housewives are getting sneaky to save a few pennies here or there. If certain family members insist on higher priced items, well, they're not above slipping generic stuff into brand name containers of ketchup and cornflakes. Talk about your blind taste test. Another trick these always frugal folks learned over the years, and one we've suggested before, is ignoring pay raises. What does that mean? Well, it's not changing your spending habits even a little bit when someone gets a promotion and more money. Far too often, people just increase their lifestyle whenever they get a raise, so the extra money just gets gobbled up. But holding fast to your budget when more money starts coming in would be a powerful inflation-fighting tool, and you don't have to do anything, just stick to your spending plan. Here's something else these frugal folks have been doing for years, and depending on where you live, it may not be too late to get started this year. It's growing your own vegetables. If you need any incentive, just look at your last grocery store receipt and what you're paying for veggies. Some of the easiest vegetables to grow yourself include tomatoes, peppers, radishes, lettuce, spinach, green beans, carrots, and zucchini. It will take a little work and some upfront costs for seed and fertilizer, but a home garden is a great way to cut grocery costs. Now, retailers are well aware that inflation is making folks cut back on spending. They're changing tactics as well. Expect to see smaller sizes of certain items and innovative products like dish soap dispensers that pump out even the last drop of detergent so there's no waste. One major retailer has completely revamped its advertising campaign this summer, away from things like apparel and toward lower-priced items like rice, beans, flour, and other staples, putting them in larger bags that offer more value. Some big box retailers haven't caught on quite as fast and now find themselves with far too many TVs and kitchen appliances, which they now have to offer at deep discounts just to get rid of them. I guess if it's in your budget and you really, really need it, now's a great time to shop for a big ticket item. So those are some tips for staying ahead of inflation. We hope you find them helpful in keeping to your budget. Let us know if you have other ideas. We'd love to hear them. Let me also put in a quick plug for our MoneyWise app, because staying on budget is more essential now than ever. You'll find it in your app store. Just search for MoneyWise Biblical Finance, with three different methods of setting up your spending plan: track only, plan and track, and our true digital envelope system. It's all there in the MoneyWise app. Just search for MoneyWise Biblical Finance. All right, your calls are next. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back.
It was a bad move. Target invited men who say they feel like women into restrooms and changing areas designated for women. They probably guessed other retailers would follow their lead, but they were wrong. Others saw that bandwagon was headed in the wrong direction. We're not ready to sacrifice the safety of women and children for the sake of progressive bathroom policies. Invite Target to make a better move. Sign the Boycott Target Pledge at afa.net.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
If you're investing for retirement or any other goal, you may be wondering if it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market. Sound Mind Investing has a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians learn to be wise and faithful stewards in the area of investing. Profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market at soundmindinvesting.org.
I've got a book I've been working on for some years now. It's called Sweet Land of Liberty, Reflections of a Patriot Descended from Slaves.
Bishop E.W. Jackson.
I think it really is an important response to the critical race theory nonsense and all of this racial demagoguery that has risen up like a cult.
Tune in to The Awakening, weekdays at noon Central on American Family Radio.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options in plain English? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit MoneyWise.org and click the link that says Find a CKA. That's MoneyWise.org.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org, or call 800-557-1985.
Thanks for joining us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host, taking your calls and questions on anything financial today. We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. It's a tough start on Wall Street as we kick into a new quarter here in July. The Dow off over 540 points at the moment, nearly 2% down. The S&P off about 1.5%, NASDAQ off about 1%. We're seeing some steam behind this sell-off continuing.
Even though some folks out today saying the U.S. may shirk a recession, a lot of folks counting on that as the base case at this point. We'll certainly have to continue to watch that, but it's a good reminder in the midst of a falling market not to try to make major adjustments. This is a time to stay the course. If you're properly invested with a properly diversified portfolio with a long time horizon, it's appropriate for your age and your risk tolerance. Don't get caught up in the volatility and try to sell and wait for it to decline more and jump back in. That just doesn't work. Better to stay the course, trust your plan, again, as long as you're invested appropriately with your time horizon and risk tolerance. It's difficult to do. Perhaps sometimes we need to just turn off the television or maybe wait on opening that statement and connect with your financial advisor if you have one, just to get some perspective on all of this. In fact, I'll have a segment here coming up a little later in the broadcast specifically about that topic. How do you find solid financial advice in an uncertain economy? A lot of folks who maybe historically have handled their own finances are saying, maybe this is a time for me to reach out to a financial advisor. Maybe I need somebody to take this hard-earned money that I've socked away and give me some godly counsel, think about an investment strategy and a financial plan that's going to serve me well into the future. Well, I'll have some thoughts on that coming up a little later in the broadcast. Plus a few of your emails and, of course, your questions. We've got lines open. We'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000. In fact, let's head to the phones now. We'll head to Kansas. Karen, you're first on the program today. Go right ahead.
Hi, I have $20,000 in a 401k, and I was wondering if we should transfer it to a gold investment.
Yeah, Karen, I'm not a big fan of that strategy, and let me talk about why that is. In order for you to do that, you would have to sell out of the current investments that you have. Give me a sense of what it's currently invested in today. Is it in cash, or is it in mutual funds?
Mutual funds.
Okay. And are they largely stock mutual funds, or do they have a bond component with a balanced fund? Do you have a sense of that?
Stock.
Okay. Very good. And I realize it's down and you're seeing that declining balance, and that's probably given the inflation, the uncertainty, some of the fear that's out there about the economic conditions. I can understand why you would be thinking perhaps this is a time to move to the precious metals. But I'm going to encourage you against that. Obviously, at the end of the day, you need to make the decision. But here's why. Number one, those unrealized losses that you have at this point in the mutual fund or mutual funds with the market down now over 20% across the major indexes are going to be locked in if you were to sell out and move into the precious metals. So you miss the opportunity for a stock recovery. Which, keep in mind, the market is going to get ahead of a recovering economy. So even if we hit a recession before we get to the end of it, the market will anticipate the end of it and recover much sooner than we actually come out of it. And so that's why it's so difficult, and I would not encourage anyone to try to pick the top or the bottom and move in and out of stocks. I would just stay invested for the long haul. In addition to the fact that you'd be locking in those losses, when we look at the precious metals, yes, they're a store of value. Yes, they're a hedge against inflation in some respects and a falling dollar. When you just look historically, Karen, at the performance of the precious metals, they don't do as well. Over the long haul, they've not performed as well as a properly diversified stock portfolio, and you're going to get more volatility, again, if you look historically. And so for that reason, I would encourage you to leave any allocation of the precious metals at 5% of your portfolio, no more than 10%. And I would stay the course, even though I know it's tough to open those statements or log in online and see that balance coming down. Now is the time to just really trust your plan for the long haul. And if you have the opportunity, whether it's in this 401k or another one, perhaps at a new employer, I would stay consistent in your ongoing contributions, because keep in mind, if you take a dollar cost averaging approach where you're systematically doing salary deferral into your company sponsored plan, you're buying more shares of whatever investments you've been buying at with the same amount of contribution. And as those recover, well, you'll benefit from that as it moves to higher ground. So I think all that to say, if it were me, I'd stay the course in what you have as opposed to trying to move this portfolio to the precious metals. But give me your thoughts.
my last question is, I'm very grateful for what you just said. It just gave me peace of mind. But
good.
I also have some gold necklaces, and I was wondering if those should be, what do you do with those?
Yeah. Is this something that has some value apart from just the monetary value? Is it, a family heirloom, something that you're wanting to hold on to, or is it something that really is just an asset that you could convert to cash?
It's an heirloom. Well, my mother-in-law gave them to me.
Okay. Yeah.
And I don't know what to do with them.
Yeah. Well, I think you could hang on to them. A couple of options. One would be if there is some sentimental and value as an heirloom, you might want to hang on to them just for the purpose of being able to pass them down to somebody else. If, in fact, at some point you think, you know what, as much as this might be an heirloom, I also see this as just an asset, you obviously could have it appraised and look to sell it. And it could be that, you know, with the price of gold where it's at right now, you could, you know, get a good bit of money out of that, depending on the weight and what kind of piece that it is. But I think you've got a decision before that to make about whether this is something you'd really want to hang on to just beyond the monetary value because you'd like to keep it in the family. And if not, then I think that's the opportunity to get it appraised and think about where you might go from there. I'd get at least a couple of opinions from a trusted appraiser before you make a final decision. Karen, we appreciate your calling in today. God bless you. Let's head to Texas. Essence, I understand you have some ideas on how we can fight inflation. Go ahead.
Yes, I heard your conversation this morning.
Yes,
so,
ma'am.
Good morning, first off. And
hi.
Get bulk, split the cost with your neighbor. That'll save a lot of money there. And every time you shop, get extra 4 cans and 4 bags of pasta or whatever rice to save. And check up on your elderly neighbors because they have fixed income. I don't believe in hoarding, but we need to watch out for our neighbors. And the last thing, if you're in a scary area to shop, always go with another person. And as soon as you get in your vehicle, lock your door.
Yeah, Essence, well, thank you for weighing in on the program today. Some really practical and great ideas. You know, I think in these times, as I said, with the average American family spending between $450 and over $500 more per month, that's not easy to absorb, especially if you've been living paycheck to paycheck. So it's a time to be neighborly, as Essence said, check in with others who may be in a time of need. This may be a time to tap in part that emergency fund. It's definitely a time to dial back your spending, really lean into that spending plan, make sure you're accommodating and allowing for the rise in food costs, fuel costs, and others so that we can get through this. And we will. Hey, more questions just around the corner. 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise, and we'll be right back.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute. No way.
There's a way. The Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
Your kids are grown and you're in a new stage of life. It's a challenging adjustment, but author Dr. Jim Burns says now is the time to make a fresh start. And his new book, Finding Joy in the Empty Nest, will equip you with practical biblical advice. Learn to manage big issues like aging parents, managing a fixed income, or how to help your children. Request your copy of Finding Joy in the Empty Nest with a gift of $25 or more at moneywise.org.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
We believe true morality flows from biblical principles and directs people to the manner in which God intends them to live.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to show love for one another by sharing each other's health costs. Through CHM's voluntary health cost sharing programs, members uplift each other spiritually and financially. CHM is an eligible option under the Affordable Care Act and a Better Business Bureau accredited charity. Interested? Learn more by calling 800-791-6225 or online at chministries.org.
Today's issues, offering understanding and encouragement.
To those of you who may be worried, let me remind you that our God reigns.
AFA President Tim Wildman is joined by a host of godly voices to help make sense of the news of the day.
Once they take the word experimental off of it, I might feel better about it.
Right. It's only a few outlets like you at American Family Radio that are bothering to report it.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Delighted to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. This is the program where we apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. We're taking your phone calls today with one line open, it looks like, 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you with whatever's on your mind today, 800-525-7000. Let's head right back to the phones. Sharon's in Missouri. Sharon, go right ahead.
Yes, sir. I have an ESOP. That's all about I have left, and I don't know much about it. I don't get any information on it. They took part of my 401. Our bank did where I retired and did that for us, and it's called an employee stock ownership plan.
Yes, ma'am.
And they put so much into that, and they won't let me find out anything when I do ask about it, and I do get a report. It's a year behind. I never know my full balance. They only let me get into it once a year. I get a distribution. I'm 74 years old. Hmm. And then I took a little extra. I think I've got close to $30,000 in it now, maybe 20-something. I have no idea. I don't know what the rate is on it. They won't give me any information. And I had called in once before and asked Dan Cia about it. He said he really didn't know much about them. I'm wanting to take it out and put it somewhere. I would like to put it into something. I've heard him talk about annuity where you get monthly income or something. I do need something like that. I don't think they'll let me get to it, but once you're have you ever looked into those or been familiar with them, how they work at all?
Yes, ma'am. I am familiar with them. And essentially, an ESOP, as you said, is an employee stock ownership plan. It's an employee benefit, basically, that gives the workers of the company ownership in the company itself. And that interest comes in the form of shares of stock. So it gives the sponsoring company, the shareholder, and the participants tax benefits because they're qualified plans as you take on these shares of stock. It's discouraging and disconcerting to me that you're having such trouble getting information on it. You should be getting statements more often than annually, for sure. And you should also have a way to either log in online or contact somebody in the HR department to find out more about the plan itself. You also, you know, generally have the ability to sell shares purchased through an employee stock purchase plan at any time. Now, if the shares were purchased under the what's called the Section 423 plan, the tax consequences will be different depending upon how long you've held the shares. And what you may be wanting to look into is the ability to roll this to an IRA. And there are some qualifications as to whether or not you'll be able to do that, but an ESOP distribution can be rolled over to a traditional IRA and miss the tax consequences. So I would be looking into that, and you could do an IRA annuity if you wanted to take this money, as you said, Sharon, and put it into an insurance contract that would then be converted to an income stream for life. Those aren't all created equal, so you're going to need some counsel on that as to what annuity you would select and whether that's even the best thing for you. Do you have an advisor, Sharon, that you've worked with on any other issues?
No, sir, I don't.
Okay.
And I call the bank, the HR department, and she gives no information. They cannot help me. They don't know much about it. And like I said, when I do get a statement, it's a year behind. I don't understand that and don't know why. They have a guy that takes care of it, and he just doesn't do what he should do, I don't think.
Yeah. Well, I would probably make an appointment with that individual, Sharon, just to go in and sit down face to face and say, listen, I need you to explain what it is I have. What shares of the company do I have? What are my distribution options? And can I get this out of here in a tax efficient manner, roll it over to another qualified either IRA or IRA annuity so that you've got some more diversification? Because the downside of what you've got here is you probably have, you're highly concentrated in your company's stock, which I would advise against just because you have everything at the risk of one company. So I would probably schedule an in-person meeting to try to get some more information. The second thing you can do, Sharon, is reach out to a certified Kingdom advisor in your area just to have somebody give a fresh set of eyes to this, perhaps give you some additional insights. They could look at the statement that you've received, tell you what you have, and perhaps help you explore your options. You could find a CKA there in Missouri on our website at moneywise.org and just click find a CKA. But you do have options. I wouldn't just settle for the lack of communication you're receiving, and you can, in fact, or you should be able to roll this out as a distribution to another qualified plan, which will give you a lot more options. Okay.
Okay, and I thank you very much for taking over the spot there for Dan C. I think you're doing a fine job, and I enjoy listening to you also.
Well, thank you, Sharon. We all miss Dan, and I didn't have the privilege of knowing him personally, but his reputation precedes him. I know he served God's people for a long, long time, and folks are missing him terribly, but I'm delighted to be able to come alongside and encourage folks, point them back to God's word, and give them some practical counsel. So thank you for your encouragement today. God bless you. Let's head to New York. Doug, you're next on the program. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning.
Hi there.
Hi, I'd like to know the pros, cons, and typical fees regarding municipal bonds. I'm pondering adding them to my portfolio.
Yeah, I like muni bonds. I mean, it's a challenging environment for bonds right now, Doug, so I may kind of sit this out if you don't already own them, but I think longer term, they're great. The pros are, as you probably know, they're tax exempt from federal and possibly state and local income tax, which is what makes them fairly attractive. Tend to be very low in terms of volatility. They're considered more safe and typically have a low default risk, which is obviously the primary risk when it comes to bonds. The downside is the environment that we're in right now. So as interest rates are rising, the market prices of existing bonds will go down because people are looking for higher yields as rates move up, which makes the existing bonds less attractive. And so that's why the prices of these bonds are going to move down during a period like we're in right now. They tend not to hold up against inflation as well as stocks because we need to outperform, especially in a high inflationary environment like we have right now. Even though the market's down, the long-term prospects of stocks outperforming is going to hold up much better. There is a slight chance of default, but it's low. So I'd probably wait and look at muni bonds down the road once rates are a little bit higher. We'll be right back on MoneyWise. Stick around.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
From the extraordinary to the mundane, the Lord is always building His kingdom. I'm Charles Morris. Listen to The Next Haven today, all week with me. 5 unique testimonies of people like you and me whose lives have been changed by Jesus in a series called Christians You Should Know.
Haven today, weekday mornings at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Listen online at afr.net.
If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes be like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Siri, I need some help.
What's up?
Well, sometimes I feel like I can't get a handle on my money. I mean, where does it all go?
It sounds like you need the MoneyWise app. It's a free app that will help you plan your budget and track your spending.
Oh.
Like the $3 you spend every morning on coffee.
Well, not every morning.
You'll also get access to free biblical financial advice.
Sounds awesome. Let's do it.
Okay, searching for MoneyWise on the App Store. Learn more at app.moneywise.org.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap Weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thrilled to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. Take your calls and questions. 800-525-7000. 800-525-7000. Hey, we always love to hear praise reports. How is this program impacting you? What ideas are you taking away? What are you learning from others who are calling in? And we even had someone call earlier today that shared some ideas, some tips on how you can fight inflation in your personal budget. Well, together we do that, and we receive so many encouraging notes from you, our listeners. So let me just say, if you have a praise report to share, we'd love to hear from you. Just send it in to info@moneywise.org so we can be encouraged along with you. This one comes from Jonathan. He writes, I've been listening for about 5 years. When I started listening, I didn't have much, but I've been applying your principles. And by the way, they're not mine. These principles come right out of God's word. But he's been applying God's principles. Today, he found out that he's way ahead of schedule for retirement. He's been getting some good loans because his credit score is going up, and he's thankful for the teaching and the ministry. And Jonathan, we're so thankful that you took the time to write. Delighted to hear that you're applying this wisdom from God's word and that it's working out for you in your financial life. What an encouragement. Thank you for that. 800-525-7000. We've got a few lines open. Let's head back to the phones. We'll go to Georgia. Jenny, you're next on the program. Go right ahead.
Probably about 15 years ago, we bought about $8,000 worth of gold and silver. Kind of the opposite question from your last gold and silver caller. I'm thinking now is actually a good time to sell it and get into something that will actually grow and hold its value. The other question is, we have about $30,000 in savings that is just sitting in savings that we really need to move into something that's going to provide a little bit more growth.
Yeah, yeah. Well, with the gold, I think the first thing to recognize is that, as I said, gold historically has not done as well over the long haul as a properly diversified stock and bond portfolio, and you'll likely have more volatility over time. So obviously you've got some gains, and that's great, but perhaps it is a good time to diversify and look toward moving into different assets. First of all, a different asset class like stocks, but also to where you're not at the risk of one asset. So in this case, if the price of gold does well, you do well. If it doesn't, obviously you lose value. The benefit of having a diversified portfolio across lots and lots of companies, whether that's, you know, in a mutual fund or exchange traded fund, would be that you're not at the risk of one investment. And so, as Ecclesiastes teaches us, if we don't put our eggs in one basket, we'll reduce our risk over time. So I think that would be a great opportunity for you. Is this in a taxable account, Jenny, outside of a retirement plan?
It's actually in physical gold and silver. So it's sitting in a safe deposit box at the moment.
I see. Okay. Yeah. So what you would want to do...
Pay taxes on any gains.
Yes. So what you'd want to do is obviously get it appraised. You will have to find a dealer that will not only give you the value of it, but help you get that sold. And then you could take that money and redeploy it, perhaps, even putting that money into a Roth or a traditional IRA. Are you all still working?
No, we're both retired.
Okay, all right. Yeah, so unless you have earned income, you wouldn't be able to put that into an IRA, but you could at the very least get it invested and take advantage of this stock market that's been, come under a lot of pressure lately and is down considerably from its recent highs early this year, and take advantage of that long term. As long as you have at least a 5, preferably a 10-year time horizon, I think that would be a good option. So I'd begin to do some research about somebody who perhaps locally could help you get that sold. I would check with 2 or 3 different dealers that could, give you a different options on what they would take in terms of a markup to get that sold for you, and then look at redeploying those assets. In terms of that $30,000 in your savings account, would that be what I call your emergency fund, or is this in addition to your emergency fund?
There's actually $50,000 sitting there, and I would say $20,000 of it would be considered our emergency fund.
I see.
So this is just extra.
Okay, very good. And is this money earmarked for anything specific, Jenny? Do you have any kind of near term, and I would say less than 5 years, where you'd need to replace a car, or you're looking to do some renovations, or you might need to buy some appliances, anything that you would anticipate this money might need to be used for in less than 5 years?
Potentially. Our car is 7 years old, so that is a consideration, but I'm not buying a new car again, so.
Okay. Yeah, well, even used cars prices are elevated. We just saw came across over the weekend. I was seeing the average car payment now is north of $700 a month for the average American family. In fact, it's $712 a month. Incredible. And we're seeing elevated prices both in the new and the used market. So that might be the only consideration, as much as I know you'd love to see this just not sitting dormantly. As long as it's in an online savings account that's earning you, now 0.7%, 0.8%, like Marcus or Ally Bank or Capital One 360, it's not going to charge any fees. You'll at least be getting nearly 1% a year. But I think the key is, if you think you need to use that money in the next 2 or 3 years, then I'd probably keep it on the sideline in a fund earmarked for that purpose. Anything that has north of 5 years as a time horizon, I'd add it to the proceeds of that gold and silver portfolio, and then look at investing that probably in a ETF portfolio. You could look at one of the robo-advisors that would put you in a real low-cost, real highly diversified index portfolio that would just capture the broad moves of the market. You could look at the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios or Betterment. Either of those would be a great low-cost option for you to invest in a very highly diversified manner. So I'd keep at least 3 to 6 months' expenses in your emergency fund. I'd then earmark whatever you think you're going to need for the car, and then the rest could be added to the proceeds of the gold and invested. Does that sound good?
Sounds good. Thank you very much.
All right. God bless you. We appreciate that. Folks, as we talk about these uncertain times, it's really a good time to be thinking about whether or not it's an opportunity for you to reach out to a financial advisor. Each of us has unique skill sets, personality traits, experiences, talents, and these characteristics can determine how we handle our money. You might be a careful planner while the next person waits to the last minute. Well, some folks prefer a slow slow and steady approach to finances. Others jump in with both feet. Some might like to take a little bit more risk. So here's my encouragement to you is no matter who you are, you're probably wondering about the current economy and what this volatility inflation means. Well, if you're a DIY investor or maybe not, you may be wondering how to weather this environment with your stock portfolios. And I would say this might be a time to consider hiring some help. It's really important to choose a financial advisor, in my view, who shares your values, one who can integrate financial counsel with biblical wisdom. You would want to be looking for someone, of course, with personal integrity, excellent service, and of course, financial savvy. Any financial advice you would want to receive should be consistent with God's word. As the Bible said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and integrating that into your financial advice is critical. So you want someone who also has a biblical worldview. Well, here at MoneyWise, we trust the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation. Perhaps this is the time to reach out to one. Just head to our website, moneywise.org, click Find a CKA. We'll be right back. Stick around.
Hannah's Heart, a half-hour program specifically designed to encourage Christian couples walking through infertility and miscarriage.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome, but this is a show that says however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hannah's Heart with Ann Cockrell and Kendra White each Saturday afternoon at 5 Central on American Family Radio. You can find the podcast at afr.net.
With each new law and Supreme Court decision, our country seems to be spiraling deeper and deeper into moral decline. Is there anything we can do right now to turn the tide of America's future? This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress talks about how Christians can be salt and light in a decaying society. Listen all this week to Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
Did you know the MoneyWise listener call-in line at 800-525-7000 is open for business 24 hours a day? It's the number that never sleeps. So when the kids are off to school or you have a few minutes before that power lunch with a client, give us a call and leave your question. We use as many of them as we can on the show. 800-525-7000 is all you need to know to get biblically based answers to your questions here at MoneyWise. Call anytime. You won't catch us napping.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise. I'm Rob West, your host, taking your calls and questions on anything financial. We have some lines open, 800-525-7000. Call right now at 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you in our final segment of the broadcast today. Let's take a few emails. We receive emails from you all the time, and we're so grateful that we do, at questions@moneywise.org, and we try to answer as many as we can on the air. We also have MoneyWise coaches. Now, you might say, what are the MoneyWise coaches? Well, these are men and women who really make financial stewardship their ministry to serve God's people. They've been especially trained, and as volunteers, they come alongside the MoneyWise family to encourage them, help them set up spending plans, develop debt repayment plans or giving plans, and just be an encouragement to teach the principles we talk about here on the program each day. And if you'd like to connect with one of our MoneyWise coaches, you can do that in our MoneyWise community when you click the community button at moneywise.org. This question comes into us from John. He says, I'm unemployed, but I have some money in a 401k. I need advice on what to do. It seems like a consistent theme here. Should I invest in gold? What would be wise? And I would say, John, first of all, during these uncertain times when you're unemployed, I would try to stay the course. Hopefully, you have an emergency fund in place of 3 to 6 months' expenses. This would be a perfect example of why we need that. And hopefully, that emergency fund can supplement what you need until you can find your next place of employment. If that's the case, and I hope that it is, then you would just want to stay the course with your current 401k. The good news is that even in these challenging times with the prospects of recession, high inflation, we still have a very strong labor market. And so, John, hopefully you're working your network, LinkedIn, friends, family, your church, looking online and trying to find your next place of employment. I would make it a matter of prayer and make it your full-time job to find your next job. So if you have the ability to lean on your emergency fund, I would certainly do that and stay the course. As I've said to a previous callers today, I would not look at making wholesale changes in your 401k. If you're currently invested, I would stay the course. If it's appropriate for your age and risk tolerance, this is a great opportunity once you get your next job to continue to contribute. But with the current investments that you have, let's just let those recover as they're going to in time. May not be this quarter, may not even be this year, but I would encourage you that long term, that's going to be the very best place to be to overcome the effects of inflation and to build wealth over time. Obviously, if you get into a situation where you don't have an emergency fund or it's been depleted, you're just looking to keep the lights on and the food on the table and gas in the car, then you need to be looking at all assets. But I would say your 401k should be one of the last, just because it's expensive money. And when you pull it out, you're going to have a big tax bite in terms of adding that to your taxable income. Not to mention, if you're under 59 and a half, you'll have a penalty there. So I would try to stay the course, and let's see if we can't get through this. And we appreciate you writing in today. Next question comes from John, and he writes in and says, is it smart to take a home equity loan to purchase a rental property? Is it smart to take a home equity loan to purchase a rental? And I would just unequivocally, John, say, no, I wouldn't do that. A rental is a business, and I think you need to look at it that way, separate from your personal finances. And as a result of that, I would try to avoid borrowing against your primary residence to fund your business. That's just a losing proposition. I would go so far as to say I really would like, although our goal is a 20% down payment on our primary residence with a rental, I'd love to see you get that up to 50% loan to value, where you're going in with 50% equity. I realize that's going to limit some folks from owning real estate as an investment, but it's going to put you in a much stronger position and keep that mortgage payment as low as possible. I also have a concern, John, that if you're borrowing for the purchase, you don't have perhaps the reserves to cover periods where you might not have a renter, where you need to do maintenance on the property, of course, the taxes and insurance as well. And although the housing market is very strong right now, we're going to see a cooling in it. If we were to get into a recession, it could mean that renters are not as readily available as they have been previously. And as a result of that, I would be concerned that you're having to borrow from your primary residence to do this. I love real estate, don't get me wrong, but not if you have to put your financial security in jeopardy. So I would just say go slow. Especially in a seller's market. I realize we're in the midst of a transition. The realtors that I talk to say that they're seeing the change. We're not, whereas we were getting 15 offers in the first 24 hours, they might get one offer in 7 days' time, depending upon the market. So we're transitioning away from it being a red hot seller's market. We're not seeing property values really decline much, but we're also not seeing folks pay, 20 and 30% premiums above their purchase prices like they were when interest rates were much lower than they are today, at least mortgage interest rates. So I would say go slow and be careful. But also, if you're going to have to borrow from your primary residence, I would say that would be a showstopper for me. All right. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. That's 800-525-7000. When we talk about applying God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices, it really comes down to some simple principles that I think are clearly found in God's word. They're simple, but they're not easy. And there certainly is a difference there. But as we think about how we can be found faithful with God's resources, let me just encourage you, take you back to the basics for a moment, because I think it's important to be reminded of this, especially in challenging times, that first of all, the primary decision we all have to answer is, number one, God owns it all. We have to recognize and transfer ownership in our minds and in our hearts to that idea that if we're going to be able to manage God's money wisely, that we've got to start there, because that changes everything. When I realize that I'm the caretaker of the master's resources, that's going to cause me to put myself in a different position as a steward or a manager. Because remember, the steward wants to make decisions that reflect the master's heart. We saw that in the parable of the talents, clearly. So we, as stewards of God's money, want to make decisions with his resources entrusted to us that, in fact, reflect the master's heart. Well, that's number one, and that's the beginning point of everything when we manage God's money his way. We then accept our role as steward, but here's the key. Money then, when that happens, money becomes a tool to accomplish God's purposes. It becomes a resource, and we realize that as we hold it loosely and live simply, we can use it to align with our values and really lean into all that God has for us, and see money not as a way to keep up with the Joneses or to make a statement about our success, but really a tool to provide for our families, to live with contentment, and to be a light in the world, and to participate through our giving in God's activity. So what are those principles that it all boils down to? Well, I think there really are five. First, we want to live within our means. And boy, that's more important now than ever. As I said, our budgets are challenging. I saw, as I mentioned earlier, over the weekend that the average car is now becoming less and less affordable. The average car payment hit a record $712 a month as new and used car prices continue to climb. We'll probably see that begin to turn down, but it hasn't happened yet. So we've got to go back to our budgets and figure out how, even in these challenging times, do we live within our means? That's number one. Number two, we want to avoid the use of debt. And that's really critical. We want to try to use debt as sparingly as possible. We certainly don't want to turn to the credit cards right now. We need to cut back in other ways because debt is going to rob us of a healthy financial future. Debt mortgages the future. And so we need to be very, very careful about using debt. Number three, we want to set long-term goals. We want to know where we're headed, because the longer the perspective, the better the financial decision today. Number four, we want to have some margin in our financial life. That means that if we're living within our means and we're making sure that we're living, in fact, below our means, then we should have margin that's going to allow us to fund our short and long-term goals. That is excess beyond the bills, both fixed and discretionary, that's going to allow us to save for the future, build up that emergency fund, maybe put extra toward debt or increase our giving. Margin is really key to being able to do that. So live within our means, avoid the use of debt, have long-term goals, have some margin. And then number five, of course, we want to give generously. Even in these challenging times, we should be givers. We should be a pipeline into God's activity, not a reservoir where God's provision stops with us. And that's really key, because that's going to break the grip of money over our lives. Hopefully that's an encouragement to you today as I remind you of some simple principles. All right, let's head back to the phones. Our final caller of the day is Larry in Arkansas. And Larry, I just have a minute or two left, so go right ahead.
Okay, thank you for hearing my call. Now, I've got some rental property, and I've been taking expenses off through the years, about 10 years now. And one of them is depreciation. And I've found out that if you sell the property, you have to pay that back, or pay taxes on that you had claimed through the years.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So when you sell a property for more than you bought it for, you're liable for what's called the depreciation recapture tax. So you need to calculate how much depreciation was claimed during the ownership of the property. And that's going to be a function of your ordinary income tax rate. So this is a great opportunity, Larry, and I'm real short on time, but this is a great opportunity for you to connect with a CPA, given this change that's coming, because this gets a little complicated. You're going to want some wise counsel to help you navigate this to make sure you report that appropriately. But the short answer is yes, you're exactly right, and I'd get some help with making sure you report that properly so that it gets paid on a timely basis. God bless you, my friend. Well, that's going to do it for us today, folks. Let me say thank you to my team today. Pat Montague handling our phones today. Devin Patrick, our producer. I want to say thank you to Robert Sutherland providing great research for me today. And thank you for being along. I hope you'll come back and join us tomorrow. We'll do it all over again. May God bless you. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.